lives, and we are thankful for the ways in which you touch our hearts and set our souls on fire. Remind us of the preciousness of this moment as a part of what is to come, and how this moment would not be if not for the ones that came before. Open to our minds this day the words of days gone by. Help us to integrate them into who we are and who we will be in service to you. It is in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we offer this and all our prayers. Amen. I don't know if we did this, but happy Thanksgiving. Did we do that? I don't think we did that. Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving.
Woo! I had turkey yesterday, but I'm looking forward to leftovers for the next 3 weeks. So, but as I was sitting down with Natalie and the kids and Natalie's family, I was thinking about those time-honored traditions, or maybe they're not time-honored traditions, I don't know. But does anybody still take time on Thanksgiving to go around the table sharing what they're thankful for? Anybody do that? It's okay if you don't. I see one person, that's good. There's another, that's good. Hey, you know, two out of ain't bad, right? It wasn't a regular practice in my home growing up, but I've heard that it happens. And now I see that it does in at least a couple households. And I know I've seen it on TV and in movies. Truthfully, we should be giving thanks to God every day for the many blessings of this life. But maybe it would be good to set aside just a minute before the turkeys or tofurkeys to offer thanks for something without which our lives simply would not be the same. Surely the list would be long. There would be a lot in our lives, both past and present, for which we are thankful. Friends, family, learning to cook, ride a bike, water, air, friends and family again. Moments of pure joy and love that shine so brightly in our mind that they cast a light on our whole life afterwards. It's easy to be thankful for that stuff, right? It's all good. What about those moments that aren't so good? Moments that you remember, and try as you might, you can't forget. Those moments of pain or shame that in a similar way to those moments of pure joy and love, cast a shadow on the life that follows. Is there anything about you or about your life that you don't readily share with people? It might be someone you just met or someone you've known for years. Maybe it's something that happened in your childhood, something you aren't particularly proud of, something you're embarrassed about, even ashamed about. It could be a little bit more recent, too. Poor decision that you made in your adult life, a path you took to a place that you would rather not share. Maybe it's deeper than that too. Maybe even more than not sharing it, you would rather that thing not have happened. That your life exists as it is, but in that moment in time, there's an empty space, a space that's been blanked out. It'd be nice to not have to look back on something that makes us cringe when we think about it. To not have to worry about telling the story someday and then following it up with, but that's not who I am anymore. Why do we do that? Why do we feel the need to apologize for something that we cannot change? Or to reassure that while we cannot change that moment no longer defines us? If we would rather not have these moments in our lives, then why would we spend any time, precious time, on them when we are giving thanks? I wanted us to get into that mindset of things that we would rather forget in our lives, because today we heard the story of the Ten Commandments. Not a story that we want to forget, for sure. But here is the beginning of the law, and I emphasize beginning because all told, there are 613 laws in the Torah. A lot of which that we don't follow, and many of which we would sooner forget if we haven't already. I mean, between bacon, tattoos, and borrowing with interest, all of your ministers are absent of righteousness. And don't get me started on laws about forbidding men to shave their beards. Lawbreakers all. But Reverend Richard, you might say, those are the laws of a different people, of a different covenant. That's not who we are. This refrain is actually quite common, and it extends beyond the law to other books in our Hebrew scriptures, what some call the Old Testament. Pastor Sarah actually talked about it last week a little bit when we heard the story of the parting of the Red Sea. Does anyone remember how that story goes? You just heard it last week. And I know that the Ten Commandments reading was long, but surely you remember that story, right? I would say that there are parts of that story that we would remember and retell with gusto, while there are other parts that we would gloss over, maybe even ignore completely. Most of us remember the Hebrew people, the underdog, backs to the Red Sea as the Pharaoh's army approaches. Most of us can remember, even picture, Moses putting that stick into the sea, the winds coming and the waves parting. And most of us can remember the Hebrew people being brought through safely on their way to the Promised Land. What we either leave out or mumble through is that once the Hebrew people were safely through, Pharaoh's army was crushed under those waves. What about the story? Now you might say, well, they were an army they were following, they were going to kill people, innocent people. Let's not talk about what people deserve, because that's a dangerous slide. So let's go back a few more weeks. What about the story that we heard on Fall Kickoff Sunday? Does anybody remember what that story was? Noah! Noah and the Ark. A lot of people didn't make it into the Ark. Not to mention unicorns, dragons, and my favorite, the Pegasus. And if we're being honest, there are a lot of stories like that in our Hebrew scriptures. Stories where God is doing something wonderful for one person or group of people, while doing or allowing to be done something horrible to another. Stories where God seems mean, vindictive, jealous, or just plain indifferent. Stories we might rather not hear. Stories we would rather forget. Many are the times that I've heard good Christians speak of these stories and say, that's not the God that I believe in, or those aren't my stories, or that's not who I am. Does that sound familiar? Something we just said a minute ago? Does that sound like something that you've ever said or heard said? Because the stories are rough around the edges. We sometimes feel the need to apologize for them or to set them aside entirely. Because we're a two-law people, right? Love God, love neighbor, done. Who needs 10? Who needs 613? But just like we forget some details of those stories in the Hebrew scriptures, so too do we often forget some details in what we would call our own scriptures. In the same breath of the greatest commandment, we have a reminder from the one that we call Christ. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And here comes the reminder. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. The laws are not replaced, but hang on the love of God and the love of neighbor, that how we treat each other should be governed by these principles of love. Indeed, our gospel companion scripture, that little snippet that you see at the top of your first page of your bulletin, it's another reminder from Christ. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus' own words coming to validate that what has gone by is a part of who we are as people of the way, rough edges and all. Because while the stories that we find in both our Hebrew and Greek scriptures, Old and New Testaments, carry both life and death, joy and sorrow, the whole book is a story of God's relationship with creation. It's a story of God continually reaching out for us and what happens when we follow and when we falter. It's a story of God saying over and over again, follow me, follow me. And ultimately breaking into creation in the form of Jesus Christ to say, here, let me show you the way. We cannot forget or erase parts of Scripture because to do so would change the whole story. And as we reflect on our lives and what we are thankful for both today and in our many yesterdays, let us not be so quick to push aside those moments in our lives that make us cringe. We cannot erase them, because to do so would change forever who we are today. We might not be the people who are in those moments of weakness or fear or darkness, but those moments are a part of who we have become. And if you're looking at all those moments and wondering if you are worth the trouble, hear these words that are lifted from a Disney movie. Do you realize how many events, choices, that had to occur since the birth of the universe leading up to the making of you, just exactly the way you are? And if that's not enough, remember that God has been a part of the work that is you, shaping you, holding you close, crying with you, laughing with you. Every moment has been written down. Every hair has been counted, because every part of you is precious. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now let us join our hearts and voices as we sing Voices United, number 377, Holy Spirit, hear us.